God is wonderful today. Amen. Let's go into this today. Today, if you're searching for answers and you're searching for the real meaning of Christmas, I'm going to give you one answer: Jesus. Amen. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the King, is born. You see, there is no name higher than the name of Jesus. There's no name like the name of Jesus. There's no one greater. There's no one higher. He was, he is, and he is to come. His name's Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Lords. He's mighty God. He's the sinless Savior. He's the Redeemer of all mankind. Who is that? It's Jesus. Today, if you're searching for answers, let me help you point you to the only answer that I know possible who can save your soul from hell. His name's Jesus. Jesus is the greatest thought of philosophy. He is higher than the mountains. He's greater than the world. He's overcome death, hell, and the grave. Who is he? Jesus. He sits on the right hand of the Father. He intercedes on every prayer that you pray to God the Father. Who is that? Jesus. I'm thankful for Jesus this morning. Romans tried to kill him, but death couldn't hold him down. Why? His name's Jesus. That's why. Yet he was born in a manger in Bethlehem. There was no room in the inn, so Mary had to give birth to the baby in a stable. While angels worshiped the Christ child, remember, friends, Mary was just a woman who gave birth to a baby after riding on a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which is approximately around a 90-mile donkey ride that may have taken 4 days. I want to ask ladies in the church a question this morning. What if you had to go on a donkey ride 4 days before you gave birth to your baby? Is that what you would really want to do? No, my wife's giving me a bad look. The day that she had Hayden, my oldest son, when she had him, she called me from work. I'm in labor. I'm so excited, all this stuff. She was like, get in the car, let's go. I'm like, I thank God that we can actually have cars. Yes, she may have drove herself there to the hospital that day. I don't think I drove. I think you drove. But it was in luxury. It may have been just a regular Nissan, but I'm going to tell you, compared to a donkey ride. Could you imagine the labor? We make it look so beautiful. Friends, it wasn't beautiful. Do you know that that stable was actually like a cave? You see, Jesus came into the world with nothing, and he died on a criminal's cross with nothing. Our Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he came into the lowest form of humanity that anybody could ever think of. His mother, a teenage woman. His father, a humble carpenter. Jesus didn't come into a royal palace. He didn't sit on a royal throne here on earth. Jesus didn't have mass wealth here on earth. But what Jesus did, he changed the form and the course of history forever with his presence. How did he do this? How did he change the world, you might ask? Well, my friends, Jesus ushered in what we call the salvation plan. The salvation plan. My mom taught me this song when I was young, and we'd sing this. Me and my brothers, we'd all get up in church and sing this with my mom. Without him, I would be nothing. And without him, I'd surely fall. And without him, life would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. Jesus, my Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Today in 2023, we're all looking for answers. You came here searching for an answer this morning. You think you didn't, but you did. We're all searching for answers, and I want to search you the only answer that can save your eternal soul from hell. His name's Jesus. I found that church people, the salvation plan, the virgin birth, we make it so complicated. Why do you say we make all this stuff so complicated? We do. It's because we're church people. We're church people. We make things so stinking complicated. It's really not that hard. Y'all, I'm on point on myself this morning. I've made it hard to people before to come to know Jesus. Don't think like you haven't either. You see, every Sunday, potential believers walk through our church doors. And for the born again, it's our job, our obligation to reach them. First, I'm going to talk to the born again believers here at church this morning. Don't walk out on me. Do you pray for our unsaved? I want to ask you, do you really pray for our unsaved? And if you don't, and you say you do, don't lie this morning. And don't lie to me. Because if you don't, you need to start. Our lost are our future. Our lost are our future. Friends, I've been in church my entire life, so I'm going to be 39 this week. Yes. So that means I've lived half my life potentially. Friends, if we can get little kids in, new families, they have not lived for Jesus yet. They're going to bring a different perspective into this church. Can't you wait to see what happens next? I'm so excited. I love when new people come into church. That means there's excitement. There's life. Some of y'all may say, well, our church ain't located in the best part of towns. I need you to open up your eyes this morning. Because God placed Mission Point in the best part of town. That's right. You may say something like this: crime and violence happens right down the road from here. Don't you think it don't happen everywhere else? If you say like things like that about our lost community and you haven't prayed this morning, I want to address you specifically. Praise God, He's given us a mission field. Praise God, He's given you a ministry. You need to embrace your ministry this morning of what God has given you today. If you're a complaining, complicated Christian, you're searching for an answer yourself. The first day I ever stepped in here in Mission Point, I was hurting. Me. I knew one thing when I stepped foot on the grounds here, that this was holy ground. This was a place for hurting people. And this is a place where lives could be changed. This was a place where old became new, and this was a place filled with Jesus. The morning that Laura and I walked through the church doors of Mission Point, oh, I was hurting. You had no clue how bad I was hurting. I told her that morning, please don't tell anybody that I ever served as a pastor. I said, please don't utter a word that I have any talent. Also, I won't tell anybody in the church that you served as our youth director for years, for my dad and for me. I said, I won't utter a single word. But before the end of the church service, the Holy Spirit already worked. And not on my behalf. People knew me. People had addressed me by name. And they figured out that I was once in the ministry. You see, with the help of Jesus Christ in this church family here, people prayed for my family. And I want you to know that God healed the Parsons family. Amen. Wow, you all did that. Many of you are like, should really be secret, like, what do we call them? Undercover police or something. You all got prayer journals that you keep secret and you all pray for people. You're good what you do. You see, the day that I called my dad to tell them I was going to accept a pastor's job here at Mission Point, he said, the moment that you walked on that property, Matthew, I prayed that morning at my church that God would gloriously heal you. When I accepted this position at church, Pastor Dan walked me into his office and he opened up his prayer journal. And in his prayer journal was my name. And by my name, it said to restore Matthew to the ministry. Ever since that day, it's hard to get me off the property here at Mission Point. It's true. It's true. Pastor talks to me a lot about it. I'm here all the time. Why is it hard for me to get off this property? And I'm very passionate about it. I see lost people. I have a sixth sense. I see lost people who need Jesus. I see hurting mothers. I see hurting fathers. I see kids who want a mom and dad. I see homes that are broken. I saw what God did to my home, and I want everybody else to have the exact same thing. It's hard for me to get off the church property. Why? I love it. I have a motto. I preach it to Dan every week. Sorry, Dan. That God, if we bring them through the side doors of our church, that God will gloriously bring them someday through the front doors of our church. So you wonder why I get so excited about Upward Basketball. I just don't see 70 or 80 kids. I see 500 families, 500 people. Here's some of the things I'm passionate about and I love. I love Upward Basketball. Walking Angels, you ladies, and one man who come, Larry, I love you. I love you guys. Life-wise, if you could see people get off the bus, the kids get off the bus and go in there and serve Jesus, this is the one time a week they're coming. I'm passionate about that. Small groups, Sunday night, I'm passionate about it. Work party, not so passionate about it. I love being here. Youth group, I love what God's doing in our youth group with Brycey. I love that our young adult groups. I love watching God do wonderful thing of Awanas. And there's much more to come.
Amen.
There's much more to come. This is just a good start. You see, someday, we're going to see people walk through our doors on Sundays and Wednesdays and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And God's going to send in lost people. And we're going to need you to lead them to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There ain't no greater reward on earth than leading someone to Jesus Christ. There is nothing better than that feeling when you lead somebody to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm more passionate today than I have ever been about the name of Jesus. Because friends, there ain't no other name that can save your soul from hell but Jesus Christ. And dear friends, if you're searching for something today, I want to tell you this, you can find before you leave here. Maybe you're already saved and you're searching. I want to tell you for something in your life. Let me tell you, God can give you the answer before you leave the building. If we think 2023 was bad and was terrible, we will see worse in the media come 2024. So I'm going to just be very honest with you today. I ain't planning to focus on that. So don't ask me a bunch of questions about the media, your TikTok news, your Facebook news, your CNN news, your Fox news. I don't got time for that as a pastor. But I'll tell you, I'm going to focus on, and what I'm passionate about is Mission Point.
Amen.
I am so excited what Jesus is going to do at Mission Point. You see, over 2,000 years ago, wise men were searching for the new Messiah. It had been prophesied that the Savior of the world was born, and he was. The wise men were searching for an answer, and I have to think that it was just not some simple camel ride to find the Savior. It's believed that the Magi traveled around 900 miles to find the Messiah. You can say that that is about the exact same distance if I was to take a camel here in Mansfield, Ohio, and I was to drive to Pensacola Christian College in Florida. It's exact. Isn't that crazy? Could you imagine that having to go to that place on a camel? Friends, I want to tell you this today. I thank God for an airplane, don't you? I thank God for modern technology. I thank God that we're so cheap that we still can have a car that we can ride to Florida once a while in. But aren't you glad that you have what you have today? These men went on search for quest for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. On a camel. On a camel. They went to go find him. The book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Get ready to open up your Bibles. And there, and I'll talk a little bit on this. This speaks of the Magi, or wise men, who followed a star from the east to Bethlehem in search of a newborn king. There they would find Mary and the baby, Jesus. And they would offer him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is believed that the baby Jesus was probably not just a baby, but he was probably more about 2.5 to 3 years old. Each of these precious gifts that they gave him had symbolic meaning. Frankincense was used in worship at the temple. This is symbolic of Christ the high priest. Gold was symbolic of Christ the King, and myrrh, a perfume used to anoint dead bodies, is symbolic of his death for the sake of truth, and therefore of Christ the Messiah. Let's pray before we read this morning. Heavenly Father God, we love you. Lord, we got people searching for Christmas, but Lord, we got people searching for you. Lord, you're the meaning of everything. You were before the whole world was even put into order. Lord, you were. And so, God, Lord, if there is someone searching for Jesus this morning, searching for you, God, we pray, Lord, that they'd find it. God, it's been many years since I've sat through a church service and someone said, God, you called me to be a missionary. God, you called me to be a pastor. God, you called me to be a teacher. God, you called me to do something. Dear God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this might be a day, this might be a week that, God, you give somebody a calling on their life and they don't run. Lord, that they come to you with open arms and they say, God, we're ready to go wherever you send me. Lord, I remember when I accepted your call in my life. Lord, I ran from you so far. I did not want to be going where you wanted me to go. Lord, you captured me, though, and I thank you. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Heavenly Father, just reach down on lives this morning. Grasp them as only you can. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This morning, I'll be reading out of the NLT version this morning, starting in verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the reign of Herod the king. About the same time, wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star, it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everybody in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem of Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judea, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me, for I want to go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went on their way, and the star they had seen in the eastern land guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When he saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw that the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. For they had been warned in a dream not to return to Herod. I just noticed this. Is that chapter 2? Yep, my bad. Sorry about that. We're good to go. Chapter 2 wasn't chapter 12. God's still good. All right, let's continue on here. Like a meteorologist would predict the weather and long-term changes of weather pattern, well, you know, the wise men, or magi, did the exact same things. They used prophecy, maps, and study of the heavens to predict that the Messiah was actually on planet Earth. Once they saw a star in the sky, that meant the Savior of the world is here. I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad I didn't have to live back then. I'm half blind. I wear thick glasses. They condense them. And I couldn't imagine having to look up there and be like, "Is that Jesus is here? Is he here?" The prophecies that they had used to the specific star to show. It's amazing. Let's go to another verse this morning. Let's go to Matthew 24:36. Matthew 24:36. We are in the right book this time. Now, how does this relate to today, you're asking? Prophecy foretells of a next big event that's going to happen in history. But of that day and hour knoweth what? No man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I want to tell you something this morning. Have you been watching the news? I've been trying not to, actually. I got so depressed from it a couple weeks ago, I had to turn it off. And then I had to go into prayer. And I was focusing so much on Israel, which I love Israel, and we should put our hearts and our minds and our prayers towards there. But I started to drift off my focus from our ministry here at the church. And I don't call it my ministry, our ministry. You all are just as important into the ministry as Dan or I are important here, because this is your church. And I had to start going back into prayer and say, Lord, God, now I need to focus, because all these outside sources are telling all of this. And God, I don't know the hour when you're coming back. But Lord, I need to live as though this is the last hour. But Lord, I need to make sure I'm focusing on the present hour that we are in. Friends, I need you to think about this. Do you have lost family members? Do you have lost loved ones? There's your ministry. I had to go home 2 weeks ago from here and rearrange my ministry. You say, you had to rearrange your ministry? Sure did. Laura, I'm sorry. You and the boys had to become number one ministry. You all are next. Amen? That's how we have to be. Number one ministry. I had to start focusing on their needs. Number one ministry. Lord, does my boys know what it takes to make it? Amen. Does my boys know what it means about what daddy believes and what daddy preaches and what daddy talks in? And someday, if the rapture were to happen in my lifetime, Lord, that they'd be able to be raptured out in that great event. But currently today, I can't be looking at crazy things out there. I have to be focused on the present moment, my family. Friends, I had to make sure that one there, and those two back there. Okay. You're in church when I'm in church. Amen. Puts more accountability on dad too, doesn't it? Buddy, when I'm in the church house on Sunday morning, you better be there. When I'm coming to small group, you better be there. When you boys are on Awana and you're in youth group, okay, dad better be in Bible study. There's accountability. And 2 weeks ago, God made it so clear to me, Matt, focus on that family. When you focus on your family, then God puts everything else in order. I came last Saturday. I think that's right. 17th, whenever it was. And we came in here for our evaluations for Upward Basketball. I was blown away. Dan alluded to a little bit of on Wednesday night. I was blown away. I saw families all coming together. And I started looking at things, you know how pastors do. Okay, do they go to a church or do they not go to a church or did they sign this or, you know. I was just trying to scoping out things. And I was amazed. Families that didn't know Jesus. I was like, ha-ha. And then my heart sank. My heart sank. You say, why did your heart sink, Matt? Because I'm going to need some help. My heart sank because I said, well, Lord, now, I got Sam Bumpus on this. Sam, we love you, and she's our director for it. But I said, ooh, she can't do it all either. She's a new Christian. She's on fire for Jesus, and she's marrying that boy beside her. And I'm like, ooh, God, she can't do it on her own. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like getting all sweaty and stuff from prayer and thinking, what do I do? I'm like, okay, you got a whole church. Mission time. I'm going to tell you something. How are you going to get people through the church doors? I don't exactly know how. I sat down with Dan the other day. I'm like, Dan, how are we going to get him through the door? He's like, no, we're at a point. I don't know exactly. I said, well, we got all these people who came through in here, and they expected that there's going to be 500 some people come through here on every Saturday. What am I going to do? I'm going to have to buy a lot of chips and popcorn. No, it's more than chips, popcorn, and anything like that. It's giving them Jesus Christ. It's giving them Jesus Christ. It's figuring out how to get them from Saturday into Sunday into Wednesday. Discipling people, loving people. I'm not saying that upward's the only answer here. Don't think that. There's so much more else that's going on. How are we going to reach them? How are we going to reach them? You know, skeptics have said that Jesus has delayed his coming. Currently, in the current age and hour that we live in, denominations have changed their beliefs on the rapture, the coming. They say, he ain't coming. If it been now, it's so bad, we might as well just go ahead and live our lives. We wash our hands of it. Yahtzee, we're done. Countries are currently in disarray. Our churches have turned into social clubs. Don't mix my words with this. Our churches are turning into social clubs. Why are they turning into social clubs? Because we used to be soul-winning stations. Do you remember that word? We're a soul-winning station. I haven't heard that word in 20-some years. Friends, think about this. Church houses were known as a soul-winning station. This is a place where people would pray. The lost would drive by. They felt something. They came in. They got saved. Did y'all hear Duke Hergett? He did weed in the back of your church for 2 years, but people prayed in here, and he gloriously got saved.
Amen.
Don't think people don't do weed in your church parking lot now. We need you here praying. I see him. The day we had Lauren Talley, I was watching it in the back of the parking lot. I had to go over here by myself and start praying, Lord, please say they don't shoot. I'm like, please say she don't come. You think I'm kidding? I'm being real. But I'm not afraid. Because you got to remember where you once were too. You know, I have to remember where I once was. And it wasn't that good. Until God gloriously got a hold of me and changed my life. Look at Matthew 24:33. Matthew 24:33. It says, in the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return is very near. Love this. It's right at the door. You know, we are closer to the rapture and the coming of Jesus Christ when he raptures the church than we first believed. So, you know, I accepted Jesus Christ years ago, but I am closer now, I believe, than I was yesterday. I want us to think about this morning. God has called every believer to do more. God has, you say, well, Pastor, that's going to take time, money, and effort. Yes. When God calls us to do more, it takes time, it takes money, and it takes effort. You say, well, preacher, you could go do that on your own. No, I can't. It takes you giving of yourself to see lost souls. It takes your time and your finance sometimes. You say, well, I'm giving above. Yeah, you have no clue sometimes how I've had to give above my tithe. And can I be honest with you? God still blessed me for it in the long run. I'm like, Laura's like, Matt, we don't got it. You spent it. I'm like, sorry, had to do it. God said so. Can I be honest with you? Sometimes you got to go with what God says. And when he says go, I have this thing. It's like, it's go time. Let's roll. All hands on deck. And it takes effort. Effort means we need passionate people who love Jesus Christ. Don't come up and show up to something like, oh, I came here today. I'm going to witness. No. Start praying in advance before you go. Get fired up before you get ready to go on your mission. And you say, well, I'm going on a mission to church today. You sure are. You don't know who's been sitting beside you in the pew. It might be your family. That might be the person who you're supposed to go witness to. That might be your mission field for the day. I have some alarming things that we need to talk about. In 2023, 29% of all Americans are reported to be diagnosed with some type of depression in their lifetime. Actually, the statistic is probably much higher and greater than that. Probably much higher and greater than that. But when we are looking at clinically, it's around 29. Currently reported, it's about 17% are currently reported. I want to tell you then, friends, somebody needs the good news of Jesus Christ. That means someone needs the good news of Jesus Christ. In 2023, it's estimated that 21.4% of people from ages 12 years and up are currently on some type of substance abuse issue. Now, I think that is alarming. 12 years and up. Can I be honest with you today? Somebody needs the good news. Let me give you even a higher statistic than this, because we currently can't calculate it. Over 48,000 people from 2016 to 2020 have had some type of gender reassignment surgery. From 2020 to 2023, we don't have a calculation on it yet, because it has rapidly grown. I want you to know something. Somebody needs the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't hate on everybody that walks through our church doors. You want to see me walk across this place so crazy and in just a minute? If you kick somebody out, come get me, because everybody needs somebody. Think you were once lost too. No, I never went through something like that. Didn't even know what that really meant till a couple years ago. But everybody needs somebody. Everybody. Can you say that with me? Everybody needs somebody. In Mansfield, Ohio, we average 203 violent crimes a year. Also, that means we also have estimated 1,581 property crimes a year as well. Friends, someone needs the good news. Now, this is statistics. When a crime rate of 37 per 1,000 residents, Mansfield is one of the highest crime rates compared to all communities of all sizes, from small towns to largest towns. One's chance to become a victim of either a violent or a property crime here is 1 in 27. Think about that. 1 in 27. Friends, I can raise both hands and say, I'm not doing my full potential. And you say, ooh, that's bad. No, I've got a whole lot more to do. Friends, somebody needs the good news of Jesus Christ. Dan and I talk a lot about missionaries, and I wasn't raised around missionaries until I became 18, and our church, then my dad pastored, we started supporting missionaries, and I really never got the whole gist of it. Me and Dan, Dan's really helped me out in the last couple of years, and well, not last couple of years, seemed like years, but last couple of months, and we've talked about missionaries, and I can tell you this. When someone needs Jesus, God sends somebody to them. When a lost person in another country doesn't know Jesus Christ, God calls someone, maybe from a local assembly like this or another local assembly elsewhere, and they get a burden for that country, and they go to that lost individual, and they lead them to Jesus Christ. Right. Friends, I want to tell you something. We may have to start praying that God sends missionaries to Mansfield. Amen. What would that be like? A little embarrassing, to be honest. But you say, with statistics like that, our prison systems are full. Our jails are full. We have a lot of educators that go in here, and I'm married to an educator. And our educators are begging for good influences to come into the school, to mentor, to love on our kids with godly influences. So I'm going to ask you this morning, who's going to them? Who's going to pray for them? Who's going to witness to them? Who's going to tell them that Jesus is coming again? Starting in 2024, here it is. We're going to have people on the grounds here at Mission Point almost 7 days a week. You say, stop, wait, hold that. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, we're almost here almost 7 days a week. Now, you say, Pastor Matt, Pastor Dan, how are you going to make that happen? And my response to you is very simple. Not alone. We do nothing alone. We need you. You say, well, how can I do something? Let's get ready to rumble here. Joy Pugh, are you in the crowd this morning? Or any of our people from the Walking Angels? Yeah. Ladies, all stand up. Can you all stand up from the Walking Angels? They need to see your face. Great. I'm thankful for all you all. Okay, these are our Walking Angels. All right. They hit the ground on Tuesdays and Thursdays here. But you know what? They walk for an hour straight, but they do one thing first. They pray. You need a prayer to get through? I bring my stuff to them too. Why you say, why would you bring your prayer to them? Listen, I know a few of them intercede. That's right. And some of them are really good intercessors, and I go to them in prayer and confidence. You need something to be prayed about? I'd be here at 9 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursday at any week, and I'd say, okay, I got to go meet them. Amen. And I need to pray with them. And if you're in that age group and you need to get off your rear and you need to walk, they'll walk for a mile with you, maybe a couple miles with you, right? And they have a great time. They also go out to eat once a month, am I right? We take trips quarterly, right? We got good stuff going with this group. All right, let's continue on here. Bryce, I need you to stand up this morning. This is our youth pastor, Bryce Hill. Amen. If you don't know who he is our new young youth pastor and your lovely wife, future wife. My bad. Sorry about that. Close, we're getting close now. Okay. A Sam Bumpus, yes, it's going to be Hill here very short. Wonderful people. If your teenagers are not involved on Sunday morning or Wednesday or Sunday night, after church, you all need to go talk to him. I'd go run him down. Please go run him down. All right? Pastor Dan, I need you to stand up. Yep, I'm talking to you. He's our WANA commander. Yep. If you do not have your kid, you can sit down now, I know. Okay. If you do not have your youngin' in a WANA, you need to go talk to him after church. And we can get your kids signed up for a WANA. My kids love a WANA. They love the parties. They love the vest. They love the little trinkets. They like to go shop. I mean, it sounds like something that I like to go do. But they have a great time, and they learn about Jesus, and they learn their Bibles. And they learn about the salvation plan. Amen. Sam Bumpus, I need you to stand up this morning. Thank you, Sam. She is our upward director. Amen. If you want to get your kids signed up for Upward, or if you want to get involved on Saturdays from February through March, talk to her. We're going to need people everywhere. Greeters, just to be nice. Shake a hand. Sell some popcorn. Give out something. I don't know. Talk to her about that. I know. All right, Emily, Charlotte, where are you all at? You guys are our LifeWise representatives. Can I have you stand up this morning? Thank you, Emily. Thank you. You guys, thank you, Charlotte. You all can be seated. If you need to know how to get involved with LifeWise, that is where we bring in kids from the Madison local schools, and they teach them about the name of Jesus. Amen. For 30 minutes. It's all about Jesus for 30 minutes. They can help you become a volunteer. They can teach you how to become a volunteer. Simple how to do it online. All right, let's continue on here. Is Tiffany Winters in here? I don't think she is in here. But Tiffany helps me with young adult volleyball. And I'm going to raise my hand because I'm ahead of it. If you want to get involved with young adult volleyball, that is the first Monday. And first Monday of each month and third Monday of each month. We had 16 people out last Monday. It's growing. God's doing good things. Are any of the Winters people a family in here? Steve, you're my representative. Can I have you stand this morning? Steve. Vivian had to go. Yes. They take care of people helping people. They represent our church going out into the community and feeding our homeless and our needy. It's a job. That family takes care of figuring out how 365 days a year how to feed homeless people. That's not easy. That's no small task. All right. Ellen, Justin, I need you to stand up. Come on. I know you don't want to. Okay. Yes, thank you. You see that? If you want to get involved in a praise team and you have some type of musical talent, and maybe you have sung on the praise team and you're like, oh, I haven't been up there in a while, we need you. I'm getting ready to come up with our 2024 schedule, and we sit down and we figure out what we need to go everything to be put together. Reach out to me or to one of them if I can't get you, and we'll get you involved in our praise team. All right, small group leaders. Can I have our small group leaders in here stand up? We got small group leaders in here. Can I have a couple small group leaders stand up? Yeah, we got one there. We got one here. Thank you. I appreciate you. All right, Bryce, stand up for a moment. You are a small group leader. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, good. If you have nothing to do on Sunday night, we got stuff for you. You're like, I didn't know. Yeah, we got stuff here. All ages, all groups, we got stuff for here. Classes, how to grow in Jesus Christ. All right, I'm going to do a big one here. I need every single Sunday school teacher to stand up. Amen. Me too. Yeah, thank you. You can all be seated. Thank you. Do you know Sunday school is important? Man, it's important. That's where people, those ladies who I had as a Sunday school teacher, they instilled Jesus into my life. And then mom and dad went home and they reinforced it in my life. My kids come home from church, and my middle one, sometimes you wonder if things are sticking in their life. And Miss Elaine has made a big impression on my middle son. And he said the other day, Miss Elaine's really cool, Dad. Amen. When we first started going to church here, Ellen made a huge impression on my oldest son. Something I can't even like, a relationship that it's, sometimes I'm like, are they closer than like we are? And I was like, I really don't care. It works. We need to be here all the time. I'm not saying you need to be here 24/7 a day. No. But if you got stuff and you're struggling in your home, don't run from here. You need to be running here. If we got a program or we got something that's going to help your family or help your life, you're like, well, man, I don't got stuff that people are going to watch my kids during this time. I don't really care. Bring them. We'll figure something out in the long run. We figure things out in the long run. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to introduce you to a personal Savior this morning. In 1999, I knelt down at an altar at a church that my dad was pastoring with electric blue pews and bright orange carpet, and I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior as a little boy. Can I tell you that morning when my little suit that was, I can even know the color of it, it was ugly, and I had a bow tie. When I walked down and I accepted Jesus, I didn't know of all the issues and the hurt and the problem I'd go through in later years. But I also didn't know of all the hurt and the problem and the pain that Jesus would gloriously spare me from. If I could go back to little five-year-old Matt when I knelt down on the altar and write a letter to myself to 39-year-old Matt, all I could probably be saying is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for sparing me. Thank you, God, for giving me a loving wife. Thank you, God, for giving me a loving family. Thank you, God, for just loving us. Thank you, God, for giving us such a good church. Thank you, God, for giving us potential Christians who are going to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 say this. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. God replied, I tell you the truth, unless you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Explained Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? He was even wondering the exact same thing. And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life by the Holy Spirit gives birth. The Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. This morning, don't be surprised when I tell you, friends, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you must be born again. How do you become a Christian? A Sunday school teacher taught me this many years ago. Dan taught you faith a couple weeks ago as an acronym. I'm going to teach you ABC. All right. A, admit. Admit your sin to Him. Just admit you're a sinner and that you're lost. Number two, believe. Believe that Jesus is God's Son and that He died on a cross for you and that you can have a relationship with Him. And C, confess. Confess that Jesus is your Lord and commit your life to Him wholly. Revelation 3:20, we're going to close on this. And Justin, you can get prepared. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any of you hear my voice and open the door, I will come to you. And I will sup with you, and He with me. Friends, I'm not going to plead you and call you down to an altar this morning and be like, yeah, you need to be down here. But I am going to be honest with you this morning. I'm going to talk to our church people first. Some of you got ministries in your life. Some of you have big callings in your life. Some of you have big plans. Some of you can read the Bible way better than I can ever. Some of you can put a PowerPoint better together than I can. And you've chose not to. Some of you could revolutionize Mansfield and be instrumental, but you choose not to. I would ask you this morning to really think about your choices this morning. Some of you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you walk through this door this morning, and you're like, yeah, I really don't know what I'm going to do after here. I might get high, I might go do something nasty, or I might just call it a day. Friend, I really want you to think about your choice this morning. Why? I just told you about a Jesus who loves you beyond all compare. He knows you by name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your mistake. He knows what you did yesterday, the night before. But He gives you free will. He knows that you could actually go have a lot of potential in your life. Man, there's some of you here I see with young adults, and I saw with the youth group when I was working with them. Y'all got such potential. I mean, some of you could be someday such great ministers, leaders, worship leaders, and we're like, man, nope, not my calling, not today, Lord. I go, Lord, don't they see it? And you know what it has to be? You have to want to. Dan or I cannot force you to do one thing. And truthfully, if I forced you to do something, it would be bad. But it's decision time this morning.